From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe.
Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, where we are continuing on our look at the assholes, where we're ranking them. None of them, as far as I'm aware, have paid to shoot anybody, which is probably a good thing. So maybe we rank them a little too high, but man, it's going to be in the back of my mind for a few of them.
Yep.
Anyhow, this is a continuation from last week, so if you haven't, please go back and listen to part one of this series, where we actually cover the people who we didn't think conclusively, we all agreed,
scientifically,
probably aren't assholes.
Yeah.
Although Copilot disagrees with us. Anyhow, we don't care about Copilot that much. Now we're going to get into the people we consider real assholes. Now, before we get too far into this episode, we should go over the scoring system again really quickly. We're covering people that we've done episodes on in the past, ranking them on a score of 50 based on five different factors: deception and fabrication, vibes, harm, grift, and legacy, giving them a score out of 50 on that, with anything below a 20 being likely not an asshole. We're starting the list 20 and up from here on out. And Chelsea, the first person to reach non-asshole status on my list.
Asshole status.
Sorry, to reach asshole status on my list. Just barely, because I know he's an asshole, but man, I don't want to think of him that way.
Oh, who is it?
Dr. Michael Sala.
Oh.
At he's 39 the first on the list. Oh. Season 5, episode 62 and 64.
Oh, that's an interesting ranking. Yeah. Okay, let's... How do you spell Sala? Where is he?
S-A-L-L-A.
Oh, there he is. In case you're wondering, Sala is the founder of Exopolitics, which frames UFOs and alien contact as a political science discipline. His achievement was giving UFO narratives an academic veneer, making them appear scholarly.
So, Chelsea, I gave him a 21 overall.
Okay, where do I go?
His highest score being in grift. He got a 6 in harm, a 7 in grift, a 6 in legacy. Deception and fabrication, I gave him a 2, because I know he believes everything he's talking about.
Oh, okay.
And I gave him a 0
in vibes. That doesn't even...
Because there is absolutely no amount of asshole I see in that guy.
Oh, that's like, true.
He's a guy who I look at and I'm like, I think he gets bullied.
Yeah, but I still look at him and I think asshole is my thing. So, sorry, what was your total score for him?
21.
Oh, mine's 32.
I had to give him a 0 in vibes because I do not get asshole vibes from him. I know he's an asshole, but I gave him a 0 in vibes.
Interesting. I gave him a 5. Like, just...
But that man could say anything. Like, he could be advocating for genocide of a group, and I'd say, like... With that, the way he talks, not an asshole.
It's true. The way he talks, like, it's just... I get what you're saying. I can't even describe it into words. But yes, I get
always,
exactly what
even
you're saying.
He says, like, when he starts out, he's like, we're just starting from a point that everything that's being looked at is true. And there's a UFO implication behind it.
It's true. And he gets higher to me because he's still deceiving. So I didn't give him the benefit of the doubt on those ones.
I don't think he's deceiving. And that's that weird thing about him. Like, his educational, like, the background education for
that's
him.
True.
I don't think he's deceiving. But he got, unfortunately... He is very grifty. Like, I think that is very apparent from everything that you look at with his websites. And his legacy of exopolitics leads that group, the UFO community, to have something, that term, to lean back on to support anything that they do, which is where he ends up being an asshole for me.
Yeah. You know what? I can pick that up because, you know what? Now that I look back on our ranking for deception and fabrication, it's knowingly...
Yeah.
So I might be able to come down a few pegs on the deception, but I think everything else I have is fairly accurate.
Yeah.
Though I might bring them down maybe on the harm. Maybe I can come to a 28.
Okay.
I still think he's higher up there than some other people.
Fair enough. But I just, the only other thing that got a 0 for me in vibes was Weekly World News, I'm pretty sure.
Shut up.
I think there might be a few more, but there's other zeros I think on the list. But like, I just do not get asshole vibes from him. And I know he's an asshole too. I just don't get the vibes.
No, I still get the vibes. I would come down on deception and fabrication. I did get the vibes from him. A little bit. Not full asshole vibes, but okay. I did get a little bit of the vibes.
And sorry, what number was he on your list?
Well, he was ranked, I have to add two, so I would say 25.
Okay, and Copilot has him at 26 with a score of 36.
I'm coming very close to AI. I do agree.
I do think my viewpoint is tainted from watching
him. Yeah.
And I, out of everybody, actually Copilot might have seen more of him. But I do think I am the most attuned to him. And
I'll tell you outright why I scored him a little bit higher on things. Because I specifically remember what was the last episode I did, Skinny Bob. Yeah. And Michael Sala made an appearance. And as soon as I said Michael Sala, you were like, that's it. It's not real.
It's not true, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I know it was a small portion of it, but...
As soon as you start, right off the bat,
but he something says, like that,
everything I do just takes everything given to me as true, and then I go from there.
See, and that means something, too, as an asshole, though.
Yeah.
It might not be a knowing asshole, but you're still an asshole.
So, Copilot gave asshole. Him... Copilot gave Sala a 36 overall. Sala scores high in deception and grift for pushing exopolitics and monetizing UFO lore. His legacy is solid in UFO circles. His vibes are middling, seen as opportunistic, but not universally toxic. He's held back by moderate harm since his influence is cultural rather than destructive.
You know what? I will agree with you. I could knock him down a few pegs because I agree he's not destructive. Just an oblivious asshole, so I could knock him down a few pegs. And absolutely.
I gotta admit, I think a lot of the bottom of my asshole list is a lot of people who I like kind of in weird ways that I couldn't put them higher. But I also do think I can justify the scores.
I wonder where this is going.
Oh, and sorry, did we say Michael Sala, before we move on, season 5, episode 62 and 64. I can't remember if I said it, just need to add it in there. And that means at 38 on my list, Chelsea, is...
Who's it going to be?
Andrew Basiago.
Where's Basiago?
Got a 21, season 3, episode 8.
I do like me a Basiago.
And...
But...
Yeah, I fully expect him to be much higher on everybody's list.
Yeah, but I do like him. See, I agree with you saying, though I don't have him that low, I can't... Who did we just do, Sala?
Yeah.
Where are you? Oh, he's lower than Michael Sala.
Okay. Yeah. So, Basiago is best known for claiming he participated in secret government time travel and Mars missions. His achievement was building a niche following and inserting himself in the UFO disclosure narrative. His asshole actions include fabricating elaborate stories, monetizing them through appearances, self-promotion, and misleading audiences with fantastical claims. I give him a 22 overall. His highest scores being in deception and fabrication, and vibes. I give him 7 in deception, 7 in vibes, 1 in harm, 6 in grift, and 1 in legacy. Because he is going to be forgotten. Like, immediately.
I think this is the closest we've come so far in a total. I am at a 23.
Oh yeah, right there. And he would have much lower vibes if his website did not have those hidden words on it.
Those skyrocket the vibes.
Yeah, those just got so weird. Yeah. And if he had run for president this past term as well. Because, like, he was supposed to be president. So what the hell? This is, like, his last chance, wasn't it? There's maybe one more.
You know, the hidden porn links just does it for me. That was, like, the most memorable thing about him. But he's a lawyer, you know? And in my head, I still look back at him as a lawyer.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I'm, like...
Hidden on his website.
And, like, he never had... Like, I looked up. There weren't complaints against him. Like, he had a successful practice.
See, so, and that's where he gets, like, kind of a lower vibe on me. But he got a very high deception.
Yeah.
And there's almost something about him that doesn't...
There are vibes. Properly, there are weird vibes,
but it doesn't properly like amalgamate within myself, like
to an asshole,
the type
right?
of person he is, right? But he is
like he had a unicorn in his logo thing on his shirt.
I know. Okay, so this is what I remember. The unicorn logo, the porn links, and that he's a lawyer. And that gave him a score of 23.
Yeah, we are right beside each other. Copilot has him 29th on their list with a 35. They say that Vaziova scores high in deception for fabricated time travel. His grift is moderate with books and appearances. His legacy is middling, remembered in fringe circles. His vibes are middling, eccentric, but not universally toxic. And they don't take into account those hidden links. That might be the difference.
See, there. No, I don't think nobody is. I think you stumbled onto something by accident that nobody else knows. I think it's a secret. And I think their description hits it dead on. In my head, I associate him with Corey Good, with the secret space program.
Okay.
And for that, he scores high on the deception and fabrication for me, very high.
Okay. And the last thing it says here is he's held back by moderate harm since his claims misled but didn't ruin anybody's lives. So they gave him a 35 overall. I would agree with that. We have 22 and 23.
Yeah.
So we're right, and Copilot's wrong.
Yeah. Though I agree with what Copilot gave as a description, so I just think their scoring's off.
Next up, at 37, I have John Teeter, Season 2, Episode 44.
Teeter was an anonymous internet persona in the early 2000s who claimed to be a time traveler from 2036. His achievement was creating one of the most enduring internet legends, sparking forums, debates, and memes. I have him at 34.
Oh, not that far. This is pretty much...
Yeah, we're very close.
And I gave him an overall of a 22.
I have a 21.
I actually... Wow. I think his highest score is in Legacy with a 7, because I do think this story lives on fairly well. And I gave him a 6 for Deception and Fabrication. 5. The story gives weird vibes, so I gave him a 5. I don't think his story has any harm attached to it, and as far as I can remember, there's not a lot of grift. He didn't really monetize this story.
Yeah, I would agree completely with those. I gave very low on harm. I don't know about grift. That one I did score a little bit higher, but now that you say that, you're right. Though, even though it wasn't monetary, he was on forums. He was on Coast to Coast AM.
Think it was like plug your stuff. I don't remember him ever plugging
it. No, it wasn't. You're right. It was more about the storytelling. Mm-hmm. And for deception, I gave him very high.
See, I think
deception.
He was on there to deceive. I don't think he was on there to make a buck.
Yeah. And the thing about Coast to Coast AM, though he did go on the forums, was Art Bell always said part of what he did was storytelling.
Yeah.
So you never know with stuff like that. But Legacy... I have Legacy low, but you're right. He is one of the big hitters. Though, you don't see time travelers talked about that much anymore.
You really don't.
Do you?
No.
No.
And
why is it going away?
I don't know. And weirdly enough,
you would think it would be more and more
as
now
more time
that we're
goes
coming
by, there should
technology.
Be more time travel.
Yeah. Yeah. And now that our technology gets like further along, you would think there'd be more talk of time travel.
And weirdly enough, this is one of the lower scores. John Teeter is number 44 on Copilot's list with a score of 27. So
interesting.
Yeah. So
do we know what it
Teeter
says about
scores
him?
High in deception for fabricating the time travel persona. His legacy is moderate, remembered as an internet legend. His vibes were neutral, more prankster than toxic. He's held back by low harm and grift since his hoax was cultural fun rather than exploitation.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so that's where it falls on there. This one, I think, might be the most decisive choice I have made here, Chelsea, at number 36.
Right at the middle of the list.
Yeah. Well, this is a very middling individual, and he's going to be in your middle, too. I just don't think you'll expect it this low.
Okay, who... Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
Is it going to be George Norrie?
No, it's not.
Okay.
This is...
Now I'm intrigued.
David Wilcock. Season 2's episode 25, 26, 27, and 28.
And 29 and 30. Yeah. It felt like... Why?
Why don't you read the description, and then I'll tell you how I scored him.
I'm mind blown right now. Because to me, he's one of the biggest fucking assholes.
You know what? He probably... Looking at my score, I probably could give him a few higher scores. But I think overall, I'm in the right spot.
I'll compare mine and tell you where I put him. Wilcock rose to prominence as a New Age author and lecturer, weaving together Atlantis myths, ascension narratives, and UFO lore. His achievement lies in building a large following and and influencing the modern spiritual fringe landscape through books and appearances. Okay, where do I have him on mine? Oh, he's lower on mine than I thought, too. Yeah. Whoa.
So.
Well, I didn't even look at this. Where is he?
So, again, I have him at 36. He got...
Holy shit. Okay.
He got
okay.
a 9 yeah. in grift for me. That is his absolute highest score. It's the highest score we've seen on this list at this point in mine. But okay. he got a 1 in legacy. He is going to be immediately... He has been immediately forgotten. We're like one of the few people that still...
Oh, you're him. Fucking right. So, okay. Here's where we're varying, I think. I have him at a 23.
Yeah. See, I have a 23. He's just 36.
I bet you we scored the same on everything else. So I have him at a 10 for deception and fabrication. I have him at an 8 for vibes. I have him at a 4 for harm. I have him at a 10 for grift. And you're going to like this. For legacy, I have him at a 10 with brackets in my heart.
Yeah.
Which also means his legacy. Like to me, he's like the biggest asshole because... Nostalgically, David Wilcock is like my original asshole.
Yeah, but yeah.
Which is why I scored him at a 10. But I, at the same time, I agree with you because, like I just joked, his audience is dwindling now. And I would probably, if I was being honest, probably put him at a 1 as well because he's easily forgettable.
Yeah.
But 10 in my heart because he's such an ass. And that's why I turn into his lives just so I can laugh at him. But and he's even letting me down.
Even
now.
You, the person who gave him a 10 in legacy, forget that he goes live on Sundays sometimes.
Yep.
So I gave him an 8 he is. For deception and fabrication. Yeah. Just because I don't think he cares enough. He's not actively lying. I just don't think he cares for a lot of it. I do think there is. Definitely some lying, but I think most of it is laziness.
Yep.
I gave him a 3 100%. For vibes because if
you gave him a 3 for asshole vibes?
Yeah. And I
okay, but does well, thinking too highly of yourself count for asshole?
It can.
Because he scores
but
a 10.
This is another thing, and that's where you see that from him. I gave him a 3. Because if somebody said, Taylor, let's pretend that you believe in alpha and beta levels for men, what would be your definition of a beta? And I would say, oh, David Wilcock. Like, beyond a shadow of a doubt. He will always grovel as a number 2, kind, and I don't think he's done that much harm. Yes, he's out there, but he did, like, the 2012 stuff and then just pivoted and, like, didn't even think about
it. We speculate about David Wilcock. I listened to his arch nemesis, Stephen Cambion, which is a little hard to listen to because he's just so homophobic about it. And I don't think he's a beta. I think he's a person that is so self-conscious about himself. And I think that's where you get the cockiness about him. But this isn't analyzing David Wilcock.
No, and the weird thing about his cockiness is it's so made up. You can see right through his cockiness.
Yeah, and it's way overplayed, but I think he's just so self-conscious about himself.
If you ever pushed him on cockiness, he would immediately submit. That's what I get from him. And this is the weird thing about David Wilcock and why he fell so low. And also, he doesn't... I don't think he has very many original ideas.
No.
He waits to see where the winds are, and then he just picks up what's around.
Yeah. He plays a lot off of other people's research.
Yeah.
Right now, his thing is Stephen Greer.
Yeah. And he's sucking up to him, yeah.
Yeah, and then there was Corey Good, who, of course, has gone very sour legally for multiple reasons, which gets him pretty high on my asshole list, but obviously he scored lower than I thought he would, definitely, though.
Yeah, and I do think at the end of the day, he has no legacy. Zero legacy. Sorry, 1 legacy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He tied with Andrew Basiago and Paul Benowitz as my only ones in legacy. And it's because, like, If anything, he was going to be a remember for 2012. He doesn't even talk about that anymore. Like, he doesn't even pretend that there was something about it that, like, is still continuing.
Why
on.
Would he?
But you could That's so part easily of the grift. Say, like, oh, this is the transition period that we're in. It will be so easy. And he's like, no, don't even talk about it anymore. Just pretend it didn't happen.
See, I forgot in all of this not to have my personal bias included in it. Here's my problem. So I could knock him down a few.
But I think it's fine to keep him where you are. Again, we have the exact same score, 23.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. And sorry,
we haven't even gotten to the co-pilots yet. So I'm just going to pull that up really
quick. Oh, what
does
co-pilot do?
Wilcock is, wow, they have him at 11th with a 40 overall and a 9 at grift. So they agree on that.
Yeah, we all agree at the grift because he straight up told people on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm just not going to do it if I don't get money. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they say, Wilcock's grift and deception are strong. Endless books, courses, and dubious claims. His vibes are poor because he's often seen as arrogant and dismissive, throwing allies under the bus. That would probably push his vibes up for me. He scores high in legacy for shaping modern new age UFO lore, but he's held back.
I don't think he shapes it.
Yeah, I agree fully. But he's held back slightly because his harm is more cultural than personal.
Yeah, and that's where I scored him really low, was in harm.
Yeah.
I don't think he's harming anyone. And that's another thing I have against his arch nemesis, Stephen Cambium. He insults his followers. And just let him be, man. Just let him be.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Just let him live their life. Who cares if they want to throw him $100? If they have it, I'm sure they're not spending, you know, the last food they have for money
on David
fucking
Wilcock. I really hope they're not. Because, man, there's some... whenever he says, like, oh, man, my life's so tough, what are you guys dealing with? And there's, like, cancer. Like, a lot of cancer in there.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, well, we're all going through a hard time. But that's where I think he's very low in harm. Like, who cares? These people are doing it of their own free will. Like, who gives a shit? Don't insult them. Just, there's someone out there doing every type of thing. Just fucking let them be. We're all humans. Let them throw away their money where they want. I choose to throw it away on other stupid things, but they choose to throw it away on David Wilcock. Who I'm sure would do anything for money.
Yes, he would. He almost does on that show.
It's true.
Okay, next up. I don't know where this is going to fall on your list, Chelsea. And I don't think this is a number that's set in stone for this person. Because this is one where I feel like there's going to be an update in the next 5 years that really tells us where they fall on this list. Next up, at number 35... is Tom DeLonge, season 2, episodes 35 and 36.
Ooh, I have him at 37.
Okay, not that far off.
No.
Tom DeLonge, former Blink-182 frontman, founded To The Stars Academy to push UFO disclosure. His achievement was mainstreaming UFO discourse, bringing government documents and credible figures into the spotlight. His asshole actions include mixing legitimate evidence with speculative claims, monetizing through media ventures, and hyping investors with promises that blurred entertainment and disclosure. I gave him overall a 24, which is the exact same. Oh, no, sorry, one above David Wilcock. And I don't know if it's going to be for asshole purposes. His highest score is an 8 in legacy, because I think no matter what happens, he's going to be remembered for this.
It's true.
He got a 6 in vibes, just because I think he's easily taken advantage of. You can see it when he does interviews about this. But I don't think he's lying in any way, and I don't think he's done any harm per se yet. Also, he's gotten very high in grift because of what he's done with To The Stars Academy and the very weird practices with stock options.
Oh, you're right. And I think I could update some things.
I do think this number will change in the future as we see what To The Stars Academy does, because they've been very silent for a while here.
They have.
I do think there's a chance he becomes the John Lear of this generation, which is a weird way to say it. But after...
It is a very
weird way to say it. I
finished
reading a book today, UFO Spooks and Kooks, which I finally finished. And I realized there are a lot of parallels between them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, I scored him very low on deception and vibes. Hear me out. I agree with you now about the whole To The Stars Academy. And so I might bump him up a bit there because I did not get the chance to listen back to that episode in season 2, episode 35-36. I scored him very low because Tom DeLonge reminds me a lot of me.
Yeah.
In the fact that he's just passionate about UFOs. And he just loves UFOs, and he used his platform for Blink-182 to, like, get in with these people. And I think you're right. I think that leads him to be easily taken advantage of by the grifters in the UFO community. So that's where I score him lower, because I think that he's lower in something for me. And right now I don't know what it is. Maybe it's vibes.
Yeah, that very well could be.
Yeah, because Grift, I think it is higher because he's using also To the Stars to sell merchandise. So I have him at a 17, but I think he should be a little bit higher now that you put it that way. I think you put it very well.
Okay. Well, actually, he's very low on Copilot's list as well. They give him a 31 and he is 40th on their list. But I think we're in agreement here that we're still waiting to see what his score is going to be because his story is still going.
Absolutely. And he did put out that book.
Yeah, The Secret Machines. Yeah. And there's that whole second side, and there's a lot of stories. I think we'll have to do an update in the next couple years on Tom DeLonge and To the Stars.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe I didn't think fully about, because again, it was an episode that I didn't listen to.
Oh, and that's the weird thing is the ones you listen to, you realize, oh, these are all the asshole things I forgot about. And it moves them up.
Yeah. And this one was back from season 2. Jeez.
Yeah.
So
it didn't feel like that long ago. That was 3 years ago.
I know. I cannot remember all the details for all the assholes.
Tom DeLonge, co-pilot, says DeLonge scores high in legacy for bringing UFOs into mainstream pop culture. We're all in agreement with that.
Yeah.
His deception is moderate. He amplified dubious claims. He doesn't think they're dubious, though. That's the whole thing with it. His grift is solid with media projects. His vibes are middling. Seen as enthusiastic but naive. He's held back by low harm since his influence was more entertainment than exploitation.
Okay, I can pick that. That's pretty much what you were saying as well, I think.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, I think they gave him a lower mark. Overall, they gave him a 20. Sorry, I gave him a 24. They gave him a 31. So they're just scoring higher in general.
They are scoring very high in general, yes.
But anyhow, we can move on next. Chelsea, next on my list at 34 is Edgar Mitchell. Season 5, episodes 40 and 42.
Okay, where is he on mine?
Well, let's tell us about
him. Oh, he's low. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I got excited again. Mitchell was an Apollo 14 astronaut who later became a UFO and consciousness advocate. His achievement was his role in NASA history and lending astronaut credibility to fringe topics. His asshole actions were relatively mild. He promoted speculative UFO claims and paranormal ideas, but didn't exploit followers or monetize heavily, making him eccentric rather than predatory.
Okay. And I gave him overall a 24, with the highest being legacy because he is going to be remembered and used.
Yeah.
And I think the further away we get from him, and especially, I can't remember if he's alive or not, I didn't go back and listen to these ones, but
no,
after he dies, and especially like in the future, he's going to be used as the astronaut who pushed this stuff, and
he was even alive, if I remember correctly, back from his episode.
Well, a lot of the stuff he did was when he was alive, and I gave him a 7 for deception, which most people might not agree with.
Mm-mm.
But
yeah,
it's deception by omission and letting people believe that because you're an astronaut, you have direct evidence about this. And he never has anything. That's the annoying part with Edgar Mitchell.
Ooh, good point. See, and I didn't score him that high with deception, but you're right. He was a believer in it. Ooh. So I think that might be a little bit sneaky to put him a little bit higher in deception.
Yeah, that's the annoying thing. It was never firsthand evidence. It was always people telling him stuff. But the fact that he was an astronaut,
he didn't have it.
Yeah, the fact that he was an astronaut let people believe that, oh, an astronaut believes this, so he must have firsthand evidence, or it must be something that we can use. But no, he was just a believer.
Yeah, I didn't take into the as an omission as a part of the deception, but you're right when you say that. My highest one was legacy because of that.
Yeah.
So if I was to take in the omission part, I think he would be a little bit higher on mine. He's fairly low on mine. He was another person like Tom DeLonge who's just naive. So kind of was like, I believe it. So I'm going to talk about it. I think they're very similar, him and Tom DeLonge.
Yeah, that's a very fair point in that they have celebrity status outside of this.
Yeah, and they're very close on my list too by that.
We just found the bottom of Copilot's list. This is their bottom.
What?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, so we have Tom DeLonge and Edgar Mitchell coming up fairly low.
Yeah, yeah. So Mitchell scores low overall. His legacy is decent as an astronaut, but his UFO advocacy was eccentric rather than exploitative. His deception, grift, and harm are low.
Yeah, see?
His vibes are neutral, more quirky than toxic. He's held back because his fringe claims were minor compared to his genuine achievements.
And I think we're picking up on the same vibes as we were with Tom DeLonge. I think they're very similar. They just had a genuine passion about it. I don't think it's exploitative by any means, except for Tom DeLonge. He's scoring higher because of the merchandise selling as well and profiting off of
that whole corporation.
But I
thing,
think,
yeah.
As far as the naivete goes between the two of them, I think it's very, very similar. They just have a passion for it and took it from there.
Okay. Next up on my list at 33, I have Carl Allen from the Philadelphia Experiment, Season 2, Episode 45.
Okay, I do not have that same person there. Where are you, Carl Allen?
Carl Allen, also known as Carlos Allende, is the man behind the letters that birthed the Philadelphia Experiment myth. The idea that the U.S. Navy teleported a ship in 1943. His achievement was creating one of the most enduring conspiracy legends in UFO and paranormal lore. He did fabricate it. The whole story, wholesale, misleading researchers for decades and seeding paranoia that still circulates today. I gave him overall a 25. His highest are in deception and legacy, at nines in each of those. I gave him a 3 in vibes. He was a guy with mental health problems, if you go back and listen to the episode. And he didn't try to profit from it. And at the end of the day, it's a weird story, but I don't think it caused any harm. And I will say, just right now, there are multiple people we could have taken out of the Philadelphia Experiment episode. This is the only one we took out.
I have him higher just because he's probably one of the more recognizable people. I know we're going to have a few people on this list that you're kind of like, huh? And I was even like, huh? We did this person until I remembered where they're coming from. But the Philadelphia Experiment is...
Oh, legacy-wise, I gave it a 9.
Infamous.
It could have probably been a 10.
Yeah, I agree. I put Grift up there as well, just because now that you say that,
he never made money
off the mental health.
He didn't mean to either.
I don't know though, because otherwise, why did he do it?
Because he had mental health problems. Sorry, I went back and listened to the episode. He had mental health problems.
Oh, you listened to it? Okay. See, and I didn't.
And
so
there's the thing. We could have done one other guy in that episode, and it's the guy who watched the movie. And he's like, "Wait, everything's coming back to me."
Yes.
We probably should have picked him to do this on. I picked Carl Allen, though.
Yeah.
And he was the one who time traveled, like, multiple times. It was great. Great episode. Also, sorry, one thing I need to say right now. Every asshole episode we did, they're a great episode to go back and listen to. Just saying that now.
Oh, great. Yeah. This one's Season 2, Episode 45.
Yeah. Go listen. It's great.
They're all great episodes. All of them. We're ranking them now, but don't go by rank.
Yeah.
Just go listen to them. They're all fantastic episodes.
And like I said, there's multiple assholes in there we could put on the list. I only put Carl Allen on it.
Yeah.
And I did love, just like his pseudonyms were always his name, but like slightly different. Carlos Allende. He was like Professor Allende on one of them too. And sorry, what was your overall score? I gave him a 25.
Oh, mine's at 38.
Okay.
And I think it's more for me just the deception and the legacy that bring him there.
Oh, wow. And Copilot gave him a 38 as well.
Oh, my God. Another one.
And they didn't explain, so I'm going to assume it's just your explanation. Oh, no. Sorry. I'm on your list, not your list. They gave him a 37.
No.
They gave him a 37.
You're right. I am Copilot.
Okay, Chelsea, next up.
They still don't have an explanation.
No, I don't have an explanation, unfortunately. It's okay. One of those things where you ask Copilot so many times and it just forgets things. And I tried to get everything I thought I had and I did not.
Yeah.
Okay, next up on my list, Chelsea, is Corey Good, Season 4, Episode 14. Although multiple times outside of that.
Okay. Good became infamous for his secret space program testimony and the introduction of the blue aliens. His achievement was gaining a devoted following and shaping UFO disclosure narratives in the mid-2010s. His biggest asshole action was revealed in court. He admitted to inventing the blue avians, undermining years of claims, while simultaneously trying to copyright them as intellectual property. This mix of fabrication, monetization, and lawsuits against critics makes him one of the most egregious figures in the field.
I gave him overall a 26, highest being he got a 10 in deception and fabrication because of that. I gave him a 5 for vibes, just because, I don't know, like, if you watch him talk, he doesn't seem as bad as other people, especially as you see higher on the list. I gave him a 2 for harm, just because, like, who's actually watching Corey Good? 8 for grift and 1 for legacy, because again, he's going to be forgotten.
See, and he sits at a 32 for me, which is the same as David Wilcock.
Yeah.
So where does he comes higher on your list than David Wilcock?
Just a little bit. Like, he overall, we've gone David Wilcock got a 23, okay, and Corey Good got a 26. He is higher in deception, and it's just because of the lawsuit stuff. And he came higher in deception because I get slightly worse vibes from Corey Good. Because he has, like, thrown people under the bus with that whole lawsuit thing.
He has. Yeah, I definitely, now that I'm looking back on it, David Wilcock seems to just kind of associate with anybody that he probably thinks that he can use to make money off.
Whereas Corey Good, this guy, Corey Good's not going to be a number 2.
He gives me, like, he tried to, like, trademark this in court.
Yeah.
So, deception and fabrication, I gave him a 10 because he admitted to it in court. I did give him asshole vibes. He gives me the creeps, even just listening to him talk.
Yeah, but also, I still don't get, like, weird, like, creepy vibes from him. I get, like...
I do.
No, I get... Yeah. And I guess, I don't know. Asshole vibes in my mind are different than what Corey Wood gives off, but I get that... Asshole wise can be very different for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. To me, he gives me a very high asshole vibe. But at the same time, I get where you're saying that. But it's the same with David Wilcock, which is funny that they were associated for a while. They give me the same kind of insecure vibes.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. And I actually think... No, I gave him slightly higher vibes.
However, he still had the balls in court come out and say blue avians are my, like, mind child. Yeah. They're my intellectual property. I don't know that David Wilcock would have the guts to do something like that because it would discredit him. And this guy's just an idiot.
Oh, wow. Copilot has him at number 2 at 44.
Really?
Yeah.
And anyhow, his legacy is a 0 for me because I don't think that he's everlasting to anybody.
I put it right at David Wilcock's level. So.
Yeah. Are they tied for me? They're tied for me.
Okay. Corey Good maxes out deception and grift with fabricated space program and aggressive monetization. His vibes are toxic. Yeah. Lawsuit betrayals and community feuds. He scores high in legacy because his story still echoes in UFO circles and his harm is significant for misleading thousands. Nothing holds him back. He's a top-tier asshole.
I mean, I don't disagree with that. I don't think that Copilot is wrong.
Okay, Chelsea, next up on my list is J3. From season 5, episode 58 and 60, and technically from the Stanley Tiger episode as well.
That's so funny.
J3 Productions is a media outfit that packages fringe personalities and UFO paranormal claims into slick documentaries and online content. Their achievement is amplifying fringe narratives and giving them professional polish, helping figures reach wider audiences. Their asshole actions come from monetizing sensationalism, platforming dubious claims as truth, and profiling, profiting from controversy cycles even when the content is fabricated or harmful. I gave them overall a 26, leaving them at 31, which is, there's actually 4 of them tied at 26, kind of in random in here.
Let me see what I gave them.
Your absolute highest is grift for me. Oh no, sorry.
Yeah.
Everything is equal in my mind at 6. Except legacy, because they're not going to be remembered at a 2.
Yeah, okay. These guys were really hard for me to rank.
I agree.
Let me tell you why. Deception and fabrication. They literally just wanted to make money.
Yeah, and that's but also they don't really charge people
exactly.
for anything.
Exactly.
That's why I had a hard
that's
time.
That's why they were really hard. So what got them The highest to me was through Deception and Griff via association with Stanley Tiger, because yeah. they fully stood behind that story and with him, even after the allegations. Yeah. They said, nope, we're sticking with this. We're sticking to this story. Because this one's so clear in my mind. I didn't even need to listen to the episode.
But the weird thing is, too, they never pivoted from, like, I forget what the name of that series was, but they could have restarted the series, but they're like, no.
We stand by it. We
can't throw away that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And his story is totally separate from him being a pedophile.
But I couldn't say that was worse than a lot of what other people have done, but I do get now that we're talking about, like, the whole pedophile thing, I probably should have given it a deception.
But it's difficult because it's not their story.
Yeah.
It's Stanley Tiger would score higher in the deception because it's
no,
his
and it's
story,
unfortunately, yeah, it's right? the corporate bureaucracy of
exactly
it all, that at the end of it, it's so mundane and benign that it's hard to like
yes.
score it high.
And outside of Stanley Tiger, they have nothing. Their legacy, I have, is a one.
No, they're like, I feel like their legacy is like a 4% ROI on investment.
Yeah. Like, these guys had no interest in the community or anything. It was just, how do we make money? Yeah. I even put their grift at 5. Like, it even wasn't even that high because obviously...
No, because again, their videos are free on Amazon Prime.
Harm, I put it as 7 just because of the stance that they took behind Stanley Tiger with this whole pedophile thing. They didn't really say anything about how it was bad. They didn't put out a statement otherwise or anything like that. So I put their harm higher for that one because they could have actually taken a stance on that and had their voices heard, but then they wouldn't have made that much money on it, right? Who knows if they even made that much money. Vibes, I put it a 1 because they're real fucking boring guys. So I have them scoring a 21. So they are 35 on my list.
Oh, okay. So they're lower for you. Okay. And just reaching asshole level.
Yeah, they were surprising for me. I found them very hard in that means.
And you know what? I actually had them... Oh, no, sorry. Copilot had them the highest at 30th with a score of 35 overall, giving them basically 7s, 6s, and 8s across the board.
Interesting.
They say J3 scores high in grift and legacy for amplifying fringe figures with slick media. Their deception is moderate. They platformed hoaxes but didn't invent them. Their vibes are middling, seen as opportunistic but not toxic. They're held back by moderate harm since they amplify nonsense rather than originate it. Hmm. And this is the one we're going to finish off with, Chelsea. Okay. The next one on my list.
Who is it?
Bruce Gernon.
Who the fuck is
from
that?
From Electronic 5,
oh,
season 4,
right.
episode 48.
Gernon claimed to have flown through an electronic fog in the Bermuda Triangle, inspiring paranormal aviation lore. His achievement was popularizing this anomaly through books and documentaries. His asshole actions are modest. He exaggerated a personal experience into pseudoscience, monetizing it without strong evidence but causing little direct harm.
Overall, I gave him again a 26. He scored very high in grift. And this is because I went back and listened to the episode and we went to his website and he literally has interview pricing on his website
right.
of $5,000 for
that.
An episode. And at the same point, he also put on that listing of things that you can pay him to do was to get him to fly you places. And it was significantly cheaper to get him to fly you places.
And I totally forgot about that.
And like his story was like, I flew into this fog and then I got to Miami slightly faster than I was expecting.
Yeah.
Like that's it. But he originated electronic fog. He says he came up with it. He's the first person to use it. So his legacy was high. His grift is 9. I gave him fairly low harm. 3. Vibes, 3. Deception and fabrication, 4. Because...
He's low on my list just because he flew under my radar for everything pretty much.
Yeah, and the only reason he ended up where he did on my list because I went and re-listened to it and I was like, wait, he has some pretty high grift.
Yeah, you know what, and I didn't remember the grift about him, but you're right, he should be higher on my list. Say that. But deception and fabrication to me was low-ish. That could happen, like it's not lying really, like nothing was like completely out of sorts, like conflict you got somewhere on a different, like, slightly different timeline than... It wasn't even a huge timeline. It was just slightly different.
No, but it's the fact that, like, he made an entire career out of this. Like, he pushed so much.
I don't know that he actually did make a career out of it, though.
He was on 50 different documentaries.
Was he?
Yeah, okay. And he said it was $5,000 for him to sit down for a documentary.
So,
like, that was on his schedule.
Maybe.
But we also don't know if he actually ever got paid for any of those.
Yeah, maybe so. He should be higher on it then. Okay, I'll rank him higher on Griff, which will put him slightly higher. But, I mean, he was fairly low on... Maybe it's just because I forgot him.
Yeah, and that he is very easily forgettable.
Yeah.
And he's actually incredibly low on Copilot. They have him at 43 with a score of 29. I can't find their description, but Chelsea already gave you their description, so
yeah,
that's
fine. Pretty sure I did.
But I think that's where we cut it off, because we're at an hour already, and we've covered 10 guys, so we can keep going.
Oh my gosh,
here.
I can't believe that was 10 guys. Yeah. We have done so many assholes.
And with that, I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next
week.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes, or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.